Joe Cameron, Joe Giglio in for Richie today, 94 WIP. You can weigh in on the conversation. Most of it has been geared toward Carson Wentz today, but the Embiid comments on the J.J. Redick podcast, part of it as well, as is certainly the Flyers game one tomorrow night, and also the Phillies with the, I mean, the glorious game in most ways last night, and then absolutely abominable ninth inning. Let's go to the phones. Let's talk to Adam. Adam, what's up, man?
Joe and Joe, how we doing?
Good, Adam. What's up today?
What's up? So, first off, I just want to say for both of you, I'm a fan of your critique of Carson Wentz. In fact, it grinds my gears when people call you Carson haters because I just think they're ignorant and they're not really listening to what you're really trying to say.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, and why would we hate him? We want the guy to succeed. He's the quarterback of the Eagles. Like, yeah, it's silly.
Nothing was more fun around here with the station or in my life as a fan of sports than when the Eagles won the Super Bowl in 2017.
Incredible.
I mean, people think I don't want that? I mean, come on.
Of course, we're all Eagles fans. Now, here's the thing, though. In my opinion, I think Carson Wentz is actually somewhere between 6 and 8 in terms of the quarterback ranking. However, I think he is number 3 without question in terms of quarterback value, meaning a quarterback that I want for my team for the next 5 years. I think he's behind Mahomes, and he's behind Russell Wilson, and that's it. What do you think?
I'd have Watson above him.
Lamar Jackson is a unique one. He's difficult to read, and can he do it again? But my goodness, if he plays like he did last year, that's amazing.
Yeah, I struggle, Adam. I struggle on the Lamar Jackson one because I just think Lamar Jackson's going to get hurt. He's not a big guy, and his style is the single most aggressive we've ever seen in pro football running the ball, and that includes more than Michael Vick.
And Cam Newton.
So, you know, I struggle on that one. I would definitely have Watson above him. Carson's still pretty high up there. I'll tell you this, though, Adam. There's going to be some guys coming from college football. Like, for instance, if you said to 32 NFL general managers, who would you rather have, Carson Wentz or Joe Burrow, it would not surprise me if more than half of them say Joe Burrow. So there could be some guys from college football that either just came or a guy like Trevor Lawrence next year that could jump Carson Wentz, you know, pretty soon as
and
well.
And Kyler Murray had a pretty good rookie season. Didn't win much, 5-10-1, but he looks promising too. He's good.
Yeah, you know what? I hear your guys' point. Deshaun Watson, though, had, you know, DeAndre Hopkins, and I know you've heard that before.
Yep.
But considering the guys, I mean, we have Greg Ward that he's throwing to. I mean, these are practice clubs. You know, these are people that were pulling off the street.
Deshaun Watson's very good, though. He is
very good, but Carson, in my opinion, played to the same level, especially in that last month. And when you're doing that with the guys compared to who Watson has, you know, that leads me to believe that he has slightly more value, even if he's not better on paper right now.
All right, give me an iconic moment from the 80s, Adam. What do you got?
So I'm going to stick with sports, 1986 World Series Game 6.
Wow.
Bill Buckner lets the ball go through his leg. The Red Sox lose that game. The following night, they lose the World Series.
Bill Buckner's a really good answer. I mean, from sports, that's pretty high up there, iconic 80s in sports.
It's amazing. He referenced Game 7, which people almost forget it happened. It's almost like the Red Sox lost the World Series that night. They didn't. They had a chance to win the next game, but Buckner, that was it. That was basically the end of the World Series.
Stunning.
Yeah.
And for those that maybe are younger and don't know, the Red Sox were up by 2 and had 2 outs on the Mets in the ninth inning with the Mets having no one on base before that whole sequence even began.
And typically, the manager, McNamara, they used to take Buckner out for defense because he was older at that point.
Correct.
And I think they wanted him on the field to celebrate to win the World Series,
correct,
which turned out to be a disaster.
Let me ask both of you guys a question. James, certainly more of a defender, and what was the term you used earlier?
Believer.
Believer in Wentz. So let me ask each of you the question. Now, I'm gonna say right out of the gate, I don't watch quite enough college football to know on Burrow. I'm just full disclosure. Do you think you would have traded in April Carson Wentz for Joe Burrow?
I would not have. I'm not sold on Joe Burrow. But the contract, I think the biggest advantage in the NFL, Joe, is a cheap quarterback, which Burrow will be, and Carson is no longer. It makes me think about it. I'd rather have Wentz, though.
I would rather Wentz, too, but I am a Joe Burrow believer. I think Joe Burrow is going to be really, really good. But I've seen it with Wentz. I believe in Wentz. I would stick with Wentz, but I would think long and hard about it.
Lawrence, on the other hand, like, I know he's not even in the NFL yet,
sure,
but if you ask me that a year from now, I'm probably going to take Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah.
He looks like the real deal.
I mean, it wouldn't surprise – look, it's impossible for me to know. I don't have 32 NFL general managers in front of me. It wouldn't surprise me if more than half would say yes to Lawrence and yes to Burrow.
Well, yeah, but the Joe brings up, Giulio brings up a great point. Yeah. We get confused with the Joes. the contract is the biggest differentiator why I think NFL teams would be more inclined to do it. If you're saying, all right, you're getting Joe Burrow on Carson Wentz's contract, yep. It's a very different discussion.
Something in sports, by the way, that we have not addressed around here on our show, we got to get to, we'll get to shortly. Let's go to Darren in Egg Harbor City. What's up, Darren?
Hey, guys, how you doing? Hold on a minute.
You got it, man. Darren, sorry, get yourself all situated.
There we go, Darren. What's up, buddy?
Glad to get you off the speaker. Yeah, hey, I agree with both of you guys with Wentz. I mean, I want to like him, and I do. It's just, you know, he's got more to prove to me. It's just, I think somebody, one of you guys said it earlier, it just seems he doesn't do the simple things good enough. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, he excels in the amazing, and he struggles in the routine. And that makes for an exciting quarterback, but also a frustrating one.
Oh, yeah, freaking heart attack quarterback. Jeez, you kidding me? And that debacle last night, oh, my God. That was unreal.
Yeah, it's really incredible that a bullpen can be so bad.
It really is. It's like you have to try to do it on purpose.
And they're not. They're trying their best. Right. That's what's frustrating. That's frustrating.
They have at least three or four guys that simply don't belong in Major League Baseball. I mean, it's
absolutely.
And then the guys that do, Tommy Hunter and Adam Morgan, have also had their rough spots.
They're back end of the bullpen guys in a solid bullpen, not even a good bullpen.
Yeah, absolutely. My iconic moment, I don't know if anybody said it yet, 1980, man. Tug McGraw striking out Willie Wilson.
It has been said.
Oh, it has?
Yes.
All right, well then, I'm going on a downer, the next one, Chernobyl.
Chernobyl's a good answer.
It's definitely an iconic moment.
Yeah, and it's amazing. I appreciate Darren the call, how much worse it could have been.
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw the HBO
show. I did. It was terrific.
I didn't, but I heard it was great.
It was sensational.
Phenomenal.
It really was. It's only five episodes.
Five
or something
episodes.
Too. It's very watchable.
Well worth watching. And
unbelievable what it could have been. You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
Jim. I mean, it could have ended that part of the world theoretically, like at least for a long time.
Yeah. It really was almost way worse. Twitter poll question of the day brought to us by the casino at Delaware Park. Open for gaming, live racing, wagering, and golf. You can visit DelawarePark.com. Lottery agent for the Delaware Lottery, must be 21 to play. Today's question, what are you more concerned about long-term? Philly's question for you here. Two guys that have struggled out of the gate, at least hitting the ball, at least Reese's walking. But who are you more concerned about long-term? A, Reese Hoskins, B, Scott Kingery. You can vote at Sports Radio, WIP on Twitter. All right, so you guys know, going in the last break there, I had mentioned that there's something going on in sports that we have not addressed much.
I'm dying to know what it is. I've been racking my brain.
Well, and as I said, it's something actually not going on in sports. It's the St. Louis Cardinals.
Yeah, man.
Now, it's funny. We here in Philly, you know, had the misfortune of having our beloved baseball team get knocked out for a week based on what happened with the Florida Marlins. You know, this goes back about 2 weeks ago now when it all started. For those that are unaware, or maybe you've kind of seen a headline, hey, Cardinals not playing, hey, Cardinals series postponed, and then you kind of float away and don't make much of it. Maybe you see another headline, hey, Cardinals involved in a series, it's not happening. All right, let's drill down here for those that don't know. The St. Louis Cardinals have played five games, okay? Five games. There are teams in Major League Baseball that have played 18 games. The Cardinals have played five.
July 30th was the last time they played a baseball game. Think about that.
They have a record of 2-3. All right, I'll repeat that. They have a record of 2-3. And to the point that James just brought up, the Cardinals, and he's actually off by a day, the Cardinals played Friday, July 24th, July 25th,
yeah, sorry,
July 26th.
The 30th was the first day without, excuse me.
They played July 28th, and the last time they played was July 29th. It is now August 11th.
It's crazy.
August 11th. And this was not a season in which a tremendous amount of off days were built in for them to have, you know, massive makeup opportunity. They have already had a four-game series with Milwaukee postponed, a five-game series with Detroit postponed, a three-game series with the Cubs postponed, and the first of a three-game versus the Pirate postponed, And tonight's game, I mean, I don't even know, was not happening.
They're off the whole week for now. At least they're talking about maybe the weekend, but their doubleheader on Thursday already is canceled.
This is for baseball and for playoff positioning. I mean, they could end up playing, who knows, 20 games, 30 games. This is unbelievable.
Yeah, and you know, it speaks to...
And we're not talking about it around here.
No, we're not.
But we should reference it.
It speaks to how last week when they rescheduled all the Phillies games, they put the doubleheaders in. They're going to try to get the Phillies and the Marlins to play 60 games. But this goes back to when the Marlins first went out. We started hearing, it's not going to be by record this year. It's by winning percentage.
Yep.
It has to be, because look at the calendar. There's no way the Cardinals can make up all the games they've missed, assuming they get back soon, hopefully.
Impossible.
Impossible by September 27th, end of the season. So you're going to have an imbalanced year. And, Joe, the other thing that stands out to me is, doesn't this just show you that baseball is not stopping? They have a team that's been out for 2 weeks, and no one cares, and everyone moves on.
An iconic franchise, too. We talked about it for the Marlins. Like, if this were the Yankees or whatever, the Cardinals are an iconic baseball
and a playoff
franchise.
Team from last year. Yeah, they're not stopping.
You're right. And I guess it's a window into what the NFL could do.
Put a team on the shelf?
Just plow ahead. And look, you're still going to make most of the money that you would have made, not in 162 games, but in a 60-game schedule, because you're still going to get the playoff money in baseball, and you're still going to get most of the regular season games televised. That, when I say most, again, most of the 60-game structure for the 30 teams in baseball. But it's incredible. I mean, we were down in the dumps when the Phillies were out for a week, not knowing exactly when they'd come back.
Without positive tests, too. I mean, this is a team that they're going to come back with a taxi squad, all that. Again, if they play Friday, which is way up in the air still, they'll have to play 55 games in 45 days if they were to get to
no
which
way.
Is no chance would happen.
There's no way that can happen. Let's go to the phones, 215-592-9494. Talk to our buddy Owen in Glassboro. What's up, Owen?
Man, blackgritty.com, I'm in these streets. And they might as well forfeit all those games and just give everybody else the win, because that's ridiculous. Secondly,
hey, by the way, Owen, can I just say something? Thank God they're 2-3 and not 4-1.
Right?
They're locked for the playoffs at 4-1. 800 winning percentage.
We're 3-2.
It makes a huge difference. Secondly, people keep calling you guys the Joes. I'm over here calling you guys the Noes. The way you bend anything just to slight Carson Wentz is fun to me. The person I'd rather have Carson Wentz, and then you caveat it with the cap, the money. A player that's not even out of college yet. You know how many players in college look like they're all world, and they come to the pros and they aren't? Joe Burrow is playing for one of the trash organizations of the league. I don't really care how great he is. He's going to be trash for 4 years in this league unless they get him.
You don't know that, man. Look,
I'm going by history. I'm going by history. The Cincinnati Bengals.
I get you,
but he had a sensational
season.
I'm projecting that the history of the Cincinnati Bengals are trash, and it's going to be a bad situation for him. That's what I'm projecting. You can project what you want to and say how you want to. You don't know either. I'm saying how I feel, so you can't correct me on that, because that's how I feel.
That's fine. That's fine. I'll tell you this. I don't think the Cincinnati Bengals on draft day would have traded the number one pick for Carson Wentz. I could be wrong, but it's what I think.
That's fine. The Eagles traded something for Carson Wentz, right?
I understand.
They traded a whole bunch of stuff.
And I'm glad they did. I just want him to play better.
Again, I want him to play better, too. I want better weapons around him. I want the whole atmosphere to change around him. So hopefully it all works out for everybody, and we can stop complaining about being up 13-1 and pulling a guy when you have 13-1. Like, I understand the end result. Maybe people want to complain, but people saying they should have kept him in there the whole game is insane. You're up 13-1. You put the guy down. You know what I mean? I know what we got coming off, but that's what you do. Lastly, but not least, man, the Flyers, though. We got the Flyers tomorrow. I got something to look forward to, because, you know, the Sixers and the Brett Clowns and the Embiid's. I don't know what Embiid's talking about. Embiid should just shut up and put up 40 points and 20 rebounds like 3 games and not cry. And then I'd care what he has to say. But I really don't even care what Embiid has to say anymore. The process is dead. We got the Flyers. Fly.
Yeah, but I'm with you. But, Owen, let me just say this on the Embiid point. I don't think this is a small point. You don't want your franchise guy, your star, your massive star, to be unhappy with the organization, because that can lead to a player wanting to leave the organization. So when I hear Embiid say what he said in the J.J. Redick podcast – to me, I agree with Joe, what he said, you want Embiid to be kind of mentally stronger than that, right, as far as the beginning of the season go. But the other part of that is, and I'm not asking for the Sixers to cede general manager control to Joel Embiid. They shouldn't. But he clearly wasn't happy with the moves. They really did not work out, will not work out. And so you could have a situation where you have a star in the NBA in a sport where people constantly are asking for a trade, you know, you run that risk.
Or just leave. The contract isn't that much longer.
Doesn't
and
have
his
that
agent
much
just took over running the Knicks for what it's worth.
Yeah.
If he was a healthy superstar, I'd be super worried about it. But he's injury prone. As much as you want to talk about Carson Wentz, he's injury prone. So I get it. They made a mistake, and everybody knows that they should have kept Jimmy over having Tobias. Tobias doesn't even use the. It makes me so angry. I don't even want to talk about it. Who cares?
All right, iconic moment from the '80s. What do you got?
The bane of all our existences, the birth of cable news. CNN was born summer of 1980.
Yeah, that's an interesting answer because it did change the world.
Big time.
And continues to.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And CNN has changed so dramatically, obviously, in recent years. Let's go to Kashmir in Potsdam. What's up, Kashmir?
Hey, guys.
Kashmir, how you doing, buddy? What's up?
Good. Good. First, let's get to the good. I'm going to do a couple seconds of good. Let's go Flyers tomorrow. Hey, big series. At least we have one team in Philadelphia. It's giving us some joy, you know?
Totally.
So good luck to them tomorrow. And the bat, obviously, the bullpen, may I say more? I mean, let's be honest. I mean, you guys, I know you guys are optimistic about possibly doing something this season, possibly getting into the playoffs. But I'll tell you what, unless the starting pitchers are going to go a complete game every single game, I don't see them any winning. I don't see them winning many more than 25 or 30 games. I mean,
First off, 30 would probably get you into the playoffs. And I'm not saying that's something to shoot for. I want them to win 35 and easily make the playoffs because, you know, you're a great team or you're a very good team, right? But just for what it's worth, 30 can get you in the dance. And one thing we know about the way playoffs work in certain sports, and the NBA is not one of them, but just getting in the dance gives you a shot. And listen, they're going to have a better bullpen at some point. They're not going to pitch to a bullpen ERA over 9. I just need Matt Klintak to make one or two trades. And I'm disappointed he hasn't yet.
I mean, they got to do something. I mean, they can't keep rolling out there with Trevor Kelly, Nick Pivetta, let's see here, Dolores Guerra. I can't really pronounce his name. Dolores Guerra.
Yeah, the Kelly guy. I know Pivetta, you know, at some point Velasquez probably be in there.
I mean, I would say, I mean, put Velasquez in there. I mean, he'd be better than those three guys.
Yeah. Well, he would. I mean, he would. No, I'd rather see Velasquez than those guys pitch, no doubt.
Yeah, I mean, also I was listening to a Phillies podcast yesterday, and they were talking about Connor Brogdon and Damon Jones. Bring those guys up. I mean, they can't be any worse than what we have right now. I mean, I at least hear some things about those guys. I'm not saying they can do it, but I mean, at least give them a shot. I mean, it's better than what you have right now because the guys what you have right now are not getting it done. And I'm sorry to blatantly just say it, but they suck. They are garbage. They do not belong in Major League Baseball. That's all there is to it.
Sometimes the truth is what it is. Why are you saying it?
Kashmir, give me an iconic moment from the 80s.
So I'm not sure if this was said yet, but how about the Ronald Reagan's tear down this wall speech in 1987?
It has been said.
Okay, so how about this one? I'm not sure if this one really count, but Abel Archer, 1984. It actually could have sparked World War III and a nuclear war.
Okay, I don't know that. What is that?
Abel Archer 13. It was a nuclear war game between a lot of the European allies.
Okay.
And some of the Americans, and the Russians were actually getting a hold of it. They thought it was actually a real thing. And they were about ready to launch a nuclear weapon at the United States.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it was researcher. There was actually a big documentary on it. It really could have escalated big time.
That's wild, man. Good stuff. That's got Matthew Broderick written all over it.
A lot of tense moments in the 80s.
I was thinking War Games. Joe, that's so funny. I was like, is this the plot of War Games or something?
Well, I mean,
it's not exactly, but I'm saying,
I'm sure we weren't the only two people out there thinking that when he's talking about it. I mean, that's essentially, I haven't seen War Games in years, but that's pretty much what War Games is.
War Games is a good movie.
Yeah, I remember it being pretty good. Again, I haven't seen it.
Entertaining.
In a while. By the way, in the ever-changing baseball playoff landscape.
The hard to figure out.
You ready for this? Ready for this?
Are the Cardinals in the playoffs?
You're fighting Phils right now, a playoff team, if the season were to end today.
There you go.
Not bad.
At 5-6, they lay claim to wild card spot number 2.
You don't even need an ERA bullpen ERA under 9 to make the playoffs this year.
This is a playoff bullpen, boys.
Yeah. See, and that also could be what gives Matt Klintak the impetus is, I guess the right word. I was going to say the wrong word. The impetus to not make a trade until deeper into the season prior to the trade deadline.
Yeah, like, I would think most trades probably won't happen until right there on the 31st.
I agree.
Because think about how many teams are in it, the other side of it. You're going to have a rare team that knows now. Like, right. How many teams know today they're out of it?
Right.
Two?
Yeah, the Pirates, a couple others, not many.
And listen, to his point, he was talking about some of those minor league guys. And I, and James, you know this through the years, I have the Paul Abbott theory always ready to go. Now, for those that remember Paul Abbott, he was a horrendous starting pitcher for the Philadelphia Phillies. One particular year, I want to say it was 05. It might have been 04. It might have been 06. I forget the year. It was a year they were contending for a playoff spot, but they kept rolling this guy, this joker out there named Paul Abbott, who never had a shot to win.
Yep.
And he started like, I don't know, 10, 11, 12 games. And somewhere along the line, I went with the anybody but him mantra. And yet they kept pitching him, and I kept saying anybody but him, and they kept pitching him. I said anybody but him. I think the Paul Abbott theory, otherwise known as anybody but him, applies to multiple members of the Phillies bullpen.
Cosign.
So whether it's minor leaguers or trade, it's got to be anybody but him, 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 and him.
Like, you know for a fact those guys aren't getting you out.
They're just
so
not.
You may as well take a shot on a young guy.
215-592-9494. At some point we'll speak to Ike Reese. He's going to be in studio with us to talk to us about Carson Wentz. He was driving in listening to what we had to say. We look forward to talking to Ike. Also, up ahead, Major League Baseball, with multiple changes on the fly during the season, considering a big potential change for the postseason, what it is. We'll get into that next. Rock your calls as well. Joe DiCamera, Joe Giglio, and Ferriccio, 94 WIP.